Well, good morning. We've got a couple of people saying good morning. Should I say please wake up? as most of you guys know, if not all you guys know, that I've been an electrician for many, many years. And one of the things we've done in our business is we started off, we wired new homes. We wired brand new homes and being built, and there's different phases in a house. You got the finished stage, you got the rough stage, you got the panel stage. Well, the phase I want to talk about real quick is the rough stage. And that's when it is, you go into the house, there's nothing but 2x4s. 2x4s everywhere, nothing's in the house but 2x4s. And that phase is a very fast-paced phase. You have to drill a zillion holes in at least one hole in every single 2x4, rafter, joist. You got to mount all the boxes. You got to pull all the wire. And after you've been doing it for a while, there's no thinking involved. It's just running. And if you want to make money wiring houses, you have to run. So it's nonstop running. You got to climb up and down a 6-foot ladder literally thousands of times a day. And if you're going to make money in that phase, you have to run and go crazy. Now, there's a finish stage where you put the plugs and switches in and the lights in. It takes a little bit more thinking, a little slower pace, but that beginning rough stage is crazy. So a friend of mine, who actually the guy who was responsible for leading me to Christ, used to have a daycare in the church we used to go to in Avon. And he decided to put in this big playground at the daycare that the church can use and the daycare can use, and he asked me to help build it. Now this playground was the old pressure treated playground that you used to see at the town of Henrietta, and believe it or not, it was almost as big as that playground at the Henrietta. So we started one Sunday after church building this playground. We started after church and we worked to 11:30, 12 o'clock at night working on this playground. And then Monday morning comes, I went to work and I was at the phase of the job of, like I said, roughing houses, going really crazy, working as fast as possible. I ended up work around 4:35, drove through the drive-thru McDonald's and shot over to Avon to the church and worked on the playground until about midnight that night. Well, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, same story. Get up, wire houses, go to the playground, come home at 12 o'clock, go to bed. Saturday morning comes, get to church at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. We stay working all the way to midnight Saturday night working on this playground. Sunday morning comes, again, get to church at 8 o'clock, take an hour off around 10 o'clock for service, get done with service, go right back to working on the playground to midnight. Monday comes, we're into our second week. Monday comes, same thing. Nothing's changed. Monday night, we finally finish the playground. Around 10:30, sometime around the time that night, and I drive home. Tuesday morning comes, back to work. Tuesday afternoon, I get to come home and I'm having my first meal in my house in over a week. And I'm sitting down at the kitchen table and I'm talking to Sandy and I remember I saying to her, I think I'm going to cut the grass after supper tonight. She said, okay. Well, dinner ended, I stood up and I literally fell back into my chair. I physically collapsed. It finally caught up with me. I actually had zero energy. My tank was empty. There was nothing left in me. I was to say I did not cut the grass, and I said to Sandy, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to bed. And I did. I went up to bed, and it was even a chore walking upstairs to get into bed. I was completely exhausted. There was nothing left that I could do. It caught up with me. I was going crazy way too hard for way too long. And today, we're going to be talking about this particular subject. And we're going to be talking about it, how it affects us. How it affects us spiritually and physically. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your example you give to us, Lord, in the Bible. But most importantly, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, dying on that cross, giving us life. Lord, I pray right now you just fill me with the Holy Spirit and help me deliver a message that is honoring and glorifying to you. I pray that everybody here would be filled with your Spirit so they can learn something, Lord. I pray you'd let us all be your tools, your instruments to do your work, Lord. So I just thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to start a new series. We got an 8-part series. We all been living in this for the last 6 months in this new COVID-19 world, and everybody is being affected. And people are being affected differently. So today, we're going to be talking about exhaustion. We're going to be having seven other series on something like this. But this COVID-19 world we're living in has affected us. Some people I've talked to and I said, my life haven't changed all that much. And other people I talked to and I said, my world is completely different. And we're all looking at this virus differently. We're all looking at, some people are saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And some people said that our life is never going to be the same. Our world's going to end as we know it. But the bottom line, if you live in a modern country, a modern world country, there's not one person on this earth that this virus has not affected, have not changed the way they do things. And today, like I said, we're going to be talking about exhaustion. And I think it's a topic that we all can relate to, some more than others. And there's all different types of exhaustion. For example, there's a type of just working plainly too hard, and working for too long, like the example I gave in the beginning of this message. And then there's exhaustions based from stress, by things in your life that we can't avoid. And then there's exhaustion based on stress by things in our life that things we can avoid. And then exhaustion comes from depression. And sometimes plain exhaustion comes from not doing anything. People are exhausted who don't do anything. It just get into a mode of not doing anything and their life is exhausting. See, when I was preparing this message in my mind, I'm thinking about how I'm going to tackle this subject. There are so many different ways that I could handle this. So many different ways that I was bouncing off my mind and bouncing off Sandy and Bill and Rick. And there's so many different directions I wanted to go or could go. But today is not going to be a message of how to not have exhaustion, but more of a message how to get out of it when we're in. And don't worry, it's not going to be a message of me saying, you just got to spend more time in the Word. You just got to get up earlier and read your Bible. And that's how you fight this. I'm not going to be looking to add any more onto your crazy, crazy lives that we all have. See, one cause of exhaustion is, in this crazy world we live in, is not so much that you overwork yourself. Is that we don't have a purpose. We don't have a purpose. When we wake up in the morning, do we wake up with a purpose? Do we wake up in the morning, we know we got something great to do today? What is our purpose for even getting up out of bed in the morning? Do we live our life sometimes like Groundhog Day? Remember the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? That every day he woke up and he lived the same day after day after day. Is our life like that? Do we wake up living the same day over and over again with no purpose? Just going through the motions of this crazy life. See, if we had to copy somebody in history, somebody who I thought was focus-driven and purposeful what he did, I think the best example that we can ever look to would be Jesus. I believe him coming to earth, his purpose was to do the Father's will. He was purposeful in everything he did. So we're going to go through a couple of verses here that's going to be on the screen here. We're going to start off with John chapter 6, verse 38. It says, "For I have come," talking about Jesus, "for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." And John 8:29 says, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." See, Jesus made his will count. He made his steps count. The things he did was purposeful. Jesus always did the Father's will. He was in perfect sync with the Father. And if you think about this, even though we can never actually master this, but if we did the Father's will. If we did the Father's will every second of our life, we could never get exhausted. Now, Jesus was tired. Jesus did get tired, and he did go and rest, and he did go and pray when he was tired. But Jesus was never exhausted. And I'm going to tell you the difference in just a couple seconds. But if we could actually literally be in God's will every second of our life, we would not be anxious. We would not be rushing around. We would not be late for anything. If we did exactly what God wanted us to do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, our life would be a zillion times different. But there's a big difference between being tired and being exhausted. Those two words are completely different. And we interchange them all the time, but they're completely different. For example, I love playing racquetball. And I actually thought I was a good racquetball player until I played Bob over there. And that kind of changed my attitude, how good I was. But I love playing racquetball. And I play racquetball with my son, Paul. And we used to go to Roberts and play at the gym there. But we haven't played in 6 months because of the virus. But when you play racquetball, it's a fast-paced game, and I love it because it's a fast-paced game. It's not a game like football or soccer that you're running a ton. It's a game that you're here, and in 1 second you have to be over there. And then you have to be from there, you have to be over here. And you're moving back and forth, and it's a very fast-paced game. And when you get done playing racquetball for a one-hour session, you're full of sweat. You might be out of breath. You might be completely worn out and not even be able to take another step if you play to your full ability. But then you take a shower, you put your street clothes back on, and you never felt better. You never felt better because hard work is good for us. Exercise is good for us. And when you get to that moment where you can't move another step and you take a break, take a shower, you feel wonderful. But exhaustion is a completely different feeling. It comes when there's no hope in sight. Exhaustion comes when there's no end is near. When you can't see a way out of this situation. When the joy is sucked right out of your life. That's when exhaustion comes. And we've all been there to different degrees or another. And the longer that we're in it, the longer that we're in this state, the harder it is to get out of it. So what do we do? What do we do when we're in that state? What do we do? And the answer is simple. It's God. Turn to God. And I know that seems like a very generic answer, which it is, but it's always and still is the right answer. 2 Corinthians 4 says, Chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Through outwardly, we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what we see, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It seems pretty simple. Fix our eyes on Jesus. We all know, I don't have to convince you, that our bodies are falling apart. We can't do the things we used to do when we were younger. But the Bible says that our souls are being renewed daily, being renewed every single day. But the trouble is, we don't feel that our souls are being renewed every day. We don't feel like that. Today is no different than yesterday. And yesterday was no different than the day before. So is God a liar when he says he's renewing our souls daily? See, the problem isn't God's not doing his part. The problem is we're not doing our part. When we get to the end of our ropes, do we turn for God for help? Do we turn for God for help when we get to the end of our ropes? Or even better yet, do we turn to God for help before we get to the end of our ropes? Do we turn to God to strengthen us? Do we turn to God for directions? Or are we just turning to God to complain and to say, God, it's not fair. Why is this happening, God? Why did this have to happen at work today of all days? Why? Why did the milk fall off the counter and just make a complete mess in the kitchen? Why, God? Why did it have to happen? Or are we turning to Him for our strength? See, we need to learn how to go to God throughout the day, the whole day. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and form and the mountains quake with surging. When we are tired, are we turning to God for strength? Are we turning to Him? And the thing is, we all know this. We all know this in our head. We all know this in theory. But when we are struggling on the job and we are doing different problems are coming in, are we really turning to Him hourly, daily, minutely? Are we praising Him? Are we trusting Him? Because it only takes a second. It really does. You know, if you're a parent, you teach your kids that if you're having problems in school, come talk to me. If you can't deal with something in your homework, you're having trouble, come talk to me. If somebody is bullying you in school, please come to me. We want our kids to come to us with their problems, with their issues. We want them to come to us. And it's a good thing when they come to us. But we don't always have the answers as parents. But God does. God wants us to come to Him when we have trials. God wants us to drop what we're doing and take just 2 seconds and talk to Him. God is the only one who can strengthen us and lift us up. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God will strengthen us. He will give us that inner power that we need. He's the one who will renew our soul daily. For 42 years, I've been an electrician. And in those 42 years, I've had 3 major different roles. I first started off as an apprentice, learning how to be an electrician, working as an electrician, just normally doing electrical work every day. Then I started my business, and then I was the owner, manager, and working as an electrician with the other electricians. And in the third role, I was just the owner, manager, running the company, not being an electrician anymore, just working or managing the electricians and now the plumbers. In the first 2 roles of my career, I used to come home tired. I used to come home beaten up and beaten up. I'd come home sore. But I would actually go to bed at night, get a good night's sleep, and I'd wake up in the morning ready to face the day again. But this third role that I'm in, of being just the manager, just the one running it, taking all the problems, I come home at night and I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. And I go to bed at night. And I wake up the next morning and say, oh man, not another day. It's only Tuesday? I swear it has to be a week already. I just want to roll over and go back to bed. And I'm not saying that the management position is a much more harder or stressful position, because I've known electricians who went from electrician to the supervisor roles, and they say the supervisor role is a piece of cake. It was stressful being an electrician, and vice versa. I've known guys who were electricians who became supervisors and said, man, this supervisor thing is tough. I want to go back to being an electrician. So it doesn't matter what position you're in. I'm not saying one is tougher than the other. We're all built differently. We all handle things differently. But it's a different feeling. It's not a tired feeling. It's an exhaustion feeling. But do you wake up in the morning like that? Do you wake up in the morning saying, it's time to make the donuts? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because you're a little bit younger than I am. But back in the early 80s, there was a TV commercial from Dunkin' Donuts. And it was time to make the donuts. So, Dan, will you play those? I got two commercials, real quick ones I'm going to play for you.
To make the donut.
It's easy owning a Dunkin' Donuts.
To make the donut.
Because unlike most supermarkets, we make our donuts fresh day and night.
The guys who make supermarket donuts are still in bed. Plain donuts aren't enough.
Of course, when you make donuts this good, there is one reward. They taste so great.
Morning, folks.
People buy an awful lot of them.
Dunkin' Donuts are always fresh.
I made the donuts.
We make them at least twice every day.
Time to make the donuts.
Not a few kinds, like supermarkets.
Made the donuts. Time to make the donuts.
But up to 52 varieties.
The donuts. Time to make the donuts. I made the donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts, up to 52 varieties, fresh day and night. No supermarket can say.
Is that you every morning? It's time to make the donuts. I've been there so many times. You wake up in the morning and you just feel like you're just getting up and you're going through the motions. You're going through the motions. You're still half asleep when you go to the bathroom to get ready for work. We've all been there. Time to make the donuts. And there's one way to know the difference between if you're just plain tired in the morning or you're exhausted. One way is, are you ready to face the day? Are you ready to get up in the morning thanking God for waking up, thanking God that you have another day in front of you? Or are you saying to yourself, not another day, not another day? Are you laying in bed and you're seeing your whole day that's ahead of you flash in front of your eyes? The appointments you got to do, the kids you got to take to practice, the dinners you got to make, the jobs you got to get done that day. Is all that stuff just flashing you through you in the morning? Are the kids waking you up in the morning and shaking you, waking you up, and you just say to yourself, I don't want to be a mom today. I just need to take a day off. Are you laying in bed wondering, how can I call in sick today? These are signs to say that you're not tired, you're exhausted. See, being tired is not really a bad thing. When we got done building that playground, we could stand back and we could look at that and we say, wow, and see the kids on the playground playing on it. Being tired is not a bad thing. Doing your work at work and accomplishing something is a good thing. And even if you get tired from it, that's a good thing. But being exhausted is much deeper than being tired. You go to bed at night and you can't sleep because you're exhausted. You can't get the stuff done in the day that you used to be able to get done. You don't feel like socializing with other people. You don't have the mental stamina to get through the day. You wake up in a daze, and you spend a lot of your time in the day thinking about going to bed at night. So what is the answer? What is the answer? Just like in Sunday school when you were a kid, just like we tell the kids when we're teaching Sunday school, Jesus is the answer. He is always the answer. And I know that's just like I said earlier, a generic answer, but he's the Savior of the world. And Jesus didn't come just to save us. He didn't come just to save us. He came to give us life. Let's say, for example, that you are, for some reason, you're stranded on a desert island. And you've been there for 5 years. And for the first 4 years of this time on this island all by yourself, you did everything in your power to think and do how to get off this island. You built a raft out of trees. You built a really big signal fire, a massive fire. So if a boat or a plane ever flew by, they would see you. And for 4 years, you tried everything you could. And at the end of 4 years, you're at the end of your rope and you say, I guess that's it. This is my life now. This is where I'm going to stay. This is where I'm going to die. And that fifth year, you do nothing to try to get off that island. And all of a sudden, this boat comes floating by, driving by closer than any other boat came to that island. And he doesn't see that big, massive fire that you've had built for 4 years. He sees just that small little fire that you use for cooking your fish that you caught. And he comes up to the beach and he rescues you. But instead of taking you back home, for some reason he takes you to his country. And he throws you in jail as a prisoner and puts you in solitary confinement. See, he rescued you. He saved you. But your life didn't change. Your life is the same. Jesus came to save us. He came to give us heaven. And that is awesome. But he also came to give us life. He came to free us from sin and free us from the stuff that he wants to give us. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came to give us real life. And if we are living our life exhausted all the time, we are not living the life that Jesus promised us. So how do we do this? How do we get out of this motion, the same thing over and over again? How do we change the cycle of being exhausted? I mean, one is really simple, is examine your life. Examine your life and see if there's anything in your life that you're doing that is not profitable and is also causing stress and exhaustion. And what I'm not saying is don't ever watch TV because that's a waste of time. Don't ever do this, that's a waste of time. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is being balanced. What I'm saying is being balanced. But you know what? I bet you, if you're honest with yourself, and we looked at your schedule and your life, I bet there's people in this church right now who can say, I can boldly look at my life and I can examine every part of it. And there is nothing, Steve, that I can take out. I'm in a season right now that my life is completely crazy. And there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can do to take out. I am overworked, overwhelmed, and exhausted, and there's nothing I can do about it. I can't stop this, and this. And that might be very true. There's seasons that we go through that we can't do anything about. So I'm not going to say to you, you need to get up an hour earlier. If you're in that season, get up an hour earlier. You need to be studying this chapter. You need to be doing this. You need to be praying. You need to be reading your Bible. Because you can't do it. I understand. If you could, that would be the best thing you could do. But I understand. Sandy was reminding me. He said when we had our six kids, when they were little, she said, I got up early. I stayed up late. And every second of the day was doing something to keep our family afloat. To give her a message and say, just get up earlier, is not the answer. It's not the answer. But the answer is still being in the Word. It's still the answer. And I know what it's like. I can honestly tell you what it's like to have your life so busy that if somebody calls you up on the phone and asks you to do one little thing, you're going to snap because you just can't take on another chore, another responsibility. But we still, even when we're in that season, we still got to incorporate God into our daily activities. Because if we don't, we'll be on an exhaustive path forever. So how do we do that? How do we do that? One is, simple things, I'm not telling you anything you don't know already, is print out some verses and keep them with you. Keep some verses with you. I'm just going to read just five verses in Psalm right now, real quick here. Five verses in Psalm. Psalm 62, one and chapter 62, verse 1 and 2. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Psalm 73, 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portions forever. Psalm 4, 8. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. And lastly, Psalm 8 or 68, 35. You, God, are awesome in my sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise to be God. Reading those 45, those four verses took about 45 seconds to do. And it's not about the time that you spend reading those verses, whether it's 45 seconds or 45 minutes. It's about taking your mind off of the world, taking your mind off of your situation you're in, and refocusing it on God. Taking your mind and putting it back on God. We need to do this throughout the day, multiple times a day. How about just having a verse on your visor of your car, and when you stop at a red light, pull that visor down and just connect with God for a second. I'll guarantee you that red light will be a lot shorter. Have verses on your mirror, in your bathroom, on your wall, so when you go in there to shave or put your makeup on and you're thinking about your day, you're thinking about God too. You're thinking about God. You're asking God to strengthen you, to get you through today. Have verses on your desk or your workstation. Set a 1 hour timer to spend 2 minutes an hour talking to God, helping you get through the day. Print out a full sheet of paper with verses on. Have them folded up that you can look at. Stuff that you know that's stressful for you. Stuff that you know that sets you off. You got verses how God can strengthen you. Put a small card. Keep it in your front pocket with a verse on. Maybe a different card every day. Make a bunch of them up. Take God with you. Train yourself when you see somebody walking towards you to spend 3 or 4 seconds praying for that person as he comes up to you. God is begging. He is begging us for our problems. He wants to be the one who handles them for us. Just like we want to be the ones who can help our kids get through their problems. God wants to do it too. He wants to help us. And if that season of your life that you cannot take on another second, obviously, I'm all for spending quality time with God each and every day. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying do that if you can. But I understand life says you can't sometimes. But you got to work towards getting back to that season when you can. And if you are in a season that you can spend quality time with God every morning or every night, whatever fits into your schedule, if you are spending time with God, that is awesome. But I want you to think about something. You don't wake up in the morning and cook your breakfast and at the same time cook your lunch, cook your dinner, go into the fridge and the cupboards, grab all the snacks that you're going to eat that day, put them all on the kitchen table and sit down and eat everything you're going to have that day and eat it all at that time. Because even if you did do something that crazy, I'll guarantee you 6, 7 o'clock at night, you're still going to be hungry. You're going to be hungry. So, like I'm saying, spend the quality time with God if you can. But that's not enough. Believe me, that's not going to get you through your day. Just like you need food throughout the day, you need spiritual food throughout the day. So if you are spending that great time with God in the morning, you still have to do the stuff to take God with you every step of your day. Every step of the day, because we need spiritual food every step of the day. Like I said earlier in this message, we have to have a purpose. The biggest thing we need to have in life is a purpose. Is our purpose of living right now is to wake up in the morning, go to work, get a paycheck, buy some things, play a little bit, go to bed, wake up in the morning, go to work, buy some things, play a little, go to bed, repeat, repeat, repeat. Is that our purpose? Because I tell you right now, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. He has a specific design purpose for every one of us. And we need to find the purpose that God put us on this earth for. Because when we find that purpose, like Jesus found the purpose, knew exactly what he's supposed to do. Paul knew what he was supposed to do. And when we find that purpose, we might be tired, but we won't be exhausted. Find that purpose of loving God and serving God and loving others. Because when we go to bed and we do the purpose that God designed us to do, I'll guarantee you, you wake up in the morning ready to do it again. When we go to bed doing what God designed us to do, we'll wake up wanting to do it again. In my mind, there's nothing better than giving out the gospel. That's what God wants me to do. And when I do it, nowhere near as much as I should. But when I do it, nothing makes me feel more alive than doing that. Nothing makes me feel more alive than that. And I promise you, when you purposeful life, when your life has a purpose, and doing your work, your everyday job, can be fulfilling your purpose for God if you're doing it the right way. So I'm not saying that you have to be a full-time missionary to be fulfilled. I'm not saying you got to be a full-time anything. What I'm saying is everything we do, if we take God with us and we remember who God is and what this world is about, because this world is broken. This world is broken. And we're broken. So the only way we can have peace, we can have joy, if we're connected with God, the only way we can have that, if we're connected with God. And the only way that we can be connected with God, that if we're one of God's children, the only way that we can be connected with Him is to be His child of God. And the only way we can do that is by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The only way we can do that. We live in a broken world, a sinful world, and we are sinful people. Whether we're 2 years old, disobeying our parents, or 62 years old like I am right now, still, we are sinful people. And when God looks at us, we cannot have a relationship with Him because of our sins. And God sees us, He sees nothing but sin. Because Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and felt short of the glory of God." But God wants that relationship with us more than anything in the world. And we cannot really truly have a relationship with Him if we're not one of His children. And God knew that we wouldn't make it. He knew that we could not be perfect. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth, live in a human form, live a perfect life, and die on that cross as that perfect sacrifice. See, when God looks at us, He sees sin until we accept Jesus Christ. And our sins earn us hell. Our sins, because of our sins, we deserve hell. And we really need to realize that our sins were sending us to hell before we accepted Jesus. But God loves us so much, He sent Jesus, that if we turn from our sins and we turn to God and we repent from our sins and realize that our sins are not getting us anywhere, and we put our complete faith in God, that's when we become a child of God. That's when we can be connected to Him. That's when we know for sure that we have not only eternal life, but a path here on earth that we can have the joy, the fulfillment, the promises of God. Everybody is different. And everybody handles stress and tired and exhaustion completely different. And even though there's no one quick fix, there is one perfect answer. That perfect answer is going to God and being connected with Him. See, when we're connected with God, He is our power source. He's the one who can get us through the day. He's the one who can give us that joy in the midst of the trials. He's the one who can get us strength. If we focus on Him and focus on the things that He wants us to do, and we talk to Him throughout the day, we can get through this. And I guarantee you, if you are purposeful, loving God and serving God and doing the things He wants to do, you can't stop doing it the next day. You're going to get up ready and willing to go. So we need to stay connected with God throughout the day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for who You are. Lord, we thank You that You are our power source, that You are the only way that we can get through this life with peace and joy and fulfillment. You're the only way, too, that we can get to heaven, Lord. And I thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus. And if anybody in this room never accepted You as their Lord and Savior, anybody in this room or even online who's watching this online, if you're in this room, please come talk to me afterwards. But even if you're online and you want to know more about that, please, please check out Crossroads. Check out our church. Give us a call. We would love to talk to you about that. Lord, we thank You so much. We thank You so much. We live in this broken world. We live in a world that is so crazy. You did not design this world this way. You did not create this world this way. But because of our sin, we turn this world into this, Lord. And we're sorry that we did it, Lord, but we thank You that if we tap into Your power each and every day, we can beat exhaustion. We can beat all the trials that this world throws at us, Lord, if we just stay connected with You. And we stay plugged in to who You really are. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.